It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging out with here until 12 o'clock. No Bills practice today. They do have off. They'll be back at it, though, tomorrow at 9:45 a.m. over at St. John Fisher. Just, you know, a little midweek break. Nice little reset, which probably is pretty good. I mean, Alec Anderson, he had a heat-related issue yesterday, goes to a local hospital. Although the Bills did tweet out, I think around 2 o'clock, that he's likely going to get released later that afternoon. So he's almost definitely out of the hospital, recovering. Probably good for him then to have today off. Hope to see him back on the practice field tomorrow. Then you've also got, you know, Cole Bishop. We'll see what that injury is. He had one of his arms heavily wrapped after he left practice early, going to the medical tent. We'll see about that. But I'm getting excited. We got football tomorrow night, Josh.
We do.
We have
football tomorrow. We don't have Caleb Williams, though.
We don't have Caleb Williams.
And we don't know if we're going to have Stephon Diggs or C.J. Stroud or any of those guys on the Texans, because apparently that's a secret. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
it's just kind of weird.
I don't really get Houston not telling people if their starters are going to play. That feels just very ridiculous, especially because it's the Hall of Fame game. We know your starters are not going to play.
Yeah.
If they do play, it's bad.
Speaking of starters that aren't going to play, did you see that Aaron Rodgers likely won't play until week one?
Which is, like, objectively, though, the correct decision. He's 40 years old coming off an Achilles. I feel like he doesn't need to play.
But he's coming off of an Achilles injury. Don't you want to find out if he's good at game speed? Like, yeah, you're in training camp right now, but it's not, like, game speed, like, legit game speed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I get it. You don't want to have him get hurt again, but if he's that susceptible to getting re-injured, what are we doing here?
No, I mean, I get it, but he is 40 years old. Don't really need him to kind of, like, you know, throw caution to the wind for really no reason. We do have some news, though, for the Bills. Aaron Wilson is tweeting out the Bills are signing safety Terrell Burgess. And 25 years old. Last was with Washington last year, the year prior with the Giants, and then spent about two seasons with the Rams. Again, 25 years old, safety. Do wonder, though, if that means that, again, as Sal brought up with them bringing in a 36-year-old safety yesterday in Kareem Jackson, if maybe this is going to be more along the lines of, all right, Bishop's probably going to be out for a few days here. We just need bodies out there so they're not risking the health of every safety because they've got to be out there for every single rep. That's what I would imagine that is going to be. I would imagine it's going to be a year-long deal as well. We'll wait for the Bills to officially announce that. But bring in more camp bodies. I get it. I'm all for it. I wouldn't imagine it's an incredibly serious injury, but they need bodies. I mean, that's really what it is. They need bodies because right now you're out Mike Edwards, potentially out Cole Bishop for a few days, maybe even longer. We don't really know what the extent of his injury is. I mean, you're going to need people that can practice and go play out even preseason games. We don't know how much the starters for the Bills are going to play in the preseason. We've got a game coming up in, what, like 11 days, something like that, against the Bears. I imagine they don't want all their starters playing much of week one of the preseason against the Bears. But with the injuries they've currently picked up, they would have to do so if they don't sign a lot of these guys. So I have no problem with it. I understand it's not Micah Hyde again, but as Sal brought up a lot yesterday, Hyde is maybe somebody that they could just kind of keep waiting on. And he's keeping himself in shape, and he could be signed coming to the playoffs, or he can be signed later on. These don't feel like that serious of injuries. These feel much more like we just need camp bodies who can go out there in practice and in the preseason, and we don't have to, I don't want to say waste our starters, but in a sense, waste our starters for meaningless snaps, just so we have players out there. No problem with this at all. Wait for, the Bills to make that official, but it does seem to be the Bills are signing safety Terrell Burgess on, I would assume, a one-year deal. Coming out of Utah, they've done that quite a bit now. I mean, all with right. Cole Bishop, Dalton Kincaid.
New Bills pipeline?
Apparently,
it was Carolina, but is it now Utah? No, it's both, actually.
Apparently now, when they go in the college ranks, Utah. So that should be interesting. Josh, I will tell you, I watched the final episode, though, of the off-season edition of Hard Knocks with the New York Giants. Excuse me. And it is now the only sports documentary series I care anything about. I don't care for the Bears' normal edition of Hard Knocks, I guess whatever you could call it. I don't really care for the in-season edition of Hard Knocks. This off-season edition, though, where they show the free agent signings and letting certain players go or what have you, I have just been engrossed by it. I really, really have. It has been something that I've really enjoyed because, yes, I mean, teams will police it. Don't get me wrong. And the Bills release their own series, and the Sabres, the Bills and Sabres embedded series during these periods. But with this one, or at least for right now, because again, I think teams are going to get more aggressive when it comes to policing it now that they've seen how kind of the Giants come out looking like this. It's just I was fascinated by watching a team that is both clearly bad, but I think somewhat well run with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane at the helm, and how much there is a difference in opinions on how everything goes down and how, you know, why certain players get signed and others don't. I was completely engrossed by it. It became to a point, since maybe the Last Dance documentary, I was like eagerly anticipating each new episode. And I knew like Tuesday at 9 o'clock, I maybe won't watch it Tuesday night. I'm going to watch it Wednesday morning though.
Right.
And I became just so into it because I think this is maybe also my favorite part of NFL seasons. The games are great, but very quickly you can become like disenfranchised with your team. The Bills less so, you know, recently, but for a long period of our lives, the season was starting like sick. We're going to win 6 games. Let's go. Right. When's the draft? And like, so that was a big part of like where I was falling in love with sport. And now, like, you got to see kind of like how the Giants operated and everything like that. And I want to see like reality where they actually were able to trade up and draft Drake May, because, man, I think they were in love with him as a prospect. They ultimately get Malik Nabers. He sounds like he's having a very good camp. I mean, to the point where he had a vet rest day either yesterday or on Monday.
Did he really?
And, wow. Well, I mean, yeah, just like, you know, just.
Yeah, but it's just. I don't
no
know,
reason
it's,
to go full bore. You know,
yeah, but
I get
it's kind of. Yeah, it's just kind of weird. You don't normally see that.
But he had a rest day, and their offense didn't look the same at all. If anything, it looked pretty poor. And so, like, I agree with them drafting Nabers compared to, say, J.J. McCarthy, which on draft night, that was a big thing of, is that where they're going to go? But, man, like, I see the clips now of, like, Daniel Jones out there, and he's just – he can't make simple throws. And I'm just, like, watching this now. Obviously, now it's a few months ago when we're seeing all of this. And you see just how much like Daboll was enamored by Drake May or even Jaden Daniels, and how much this team did seemingly want to move off of Daniel Jones but couldn't.
If you're Brian Daboll, you went from the second best quarterback in the league to Daniel Jones. So and to his I don't know if it's Dable's credit or even Jones's credit, but he made Daniel Jones a decent looking quarterback his first year there. Last year it wasn't anything.
It was bad. It was bad.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't anything what you saw in the first year. But I, looking at this off season edition of Hard Knocks, if there is, like, there's no way that this won't happen again next year, unless some sort of NFL executive gets all mad that it was like, oh, you revealed too much or whatever. There's no way that I don't think there's any way that Hard Knocks will get rid of this. Like, this has to be part of the formula every year.
I think so. I mean, you're getting the in-season ones now.
Yeah, but this is so much different than anything we've ever seen. Like, we didn't see the Giants draft board, but we saw a
pretty much
look at. It was the picture that was going around was of what already what is like the players that were already drafted.
But they had color-coordinated.
They had color-coded. Like,
and no one really knows what any of them mean.
Right. Warren Sharp speculated some of the things. Like, I think blue was a good leader.
Yep.
Red was medical concerns. Purple, I think, was like...
Character concerns, I think he said.
But one of the guys in blue was Cole Bishop.
I think one of the other guys in blue was Dwayne Carter.
Yeah, and other blue names also included guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, Malik Nabers. Like, there's big names on that board that are associated with Bill's names, and it's like, okay, what does that all mean? Why are they grouped in the same category there? Like,
yep.
So I love the whole process that they went through of everything with free agency and everything with the draft process and scouting and things. And obviously, like you said, like the Bills and the Sabres and other teams do these embedded and behind the scenes looks. Like, I remember there's the viral clip of Brandon Bean talking about Gabe Davis. I hope he runs 40 times slow. Like, those things are cool, but it's just like the individual teams doing it. Like, this is a production from an unbiased source looking at everything. And I'm not saying, you know, when teams do it, they gear it a certain way. But when you're seeing it on a large scale production, it just feels different, and it feels so much more just
And this could be wrong, but it also kind of feels like you're getting a more honest look. And again, that could be very wrong. But
that's what I mean with the bias thing. Like, it's not that these teams aren't showing you the whole story, but they're going to keep some things under wraps.
Yep.
Whereas with Hard Knocks, they're going to push everything to the limit.
At least they used to. I think that's the thing. Is like, you look back at years like the Cleveland Browns year, Baker Mayfield's rookie year, where, you know, Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson, like, it made them look like bumbling buffoons. They kind of move back from that because they're like, all right, you know, teams are going to start really rejecting it, and you're gonna only get bad teams, and everyone's going to know they're bad and what have you. I think that's why I sort of enjoyed the Giants one, because the Giants are like in this weird flux of, you made the playoffs, you won a playoff game 2 years ago in Brian Dable's first year, and then last year, you could argue, you know, Daniel Jones, he gets hurt. He only played 6 games, I think, last year. He gets hurt, so you're like, all right, are they really that good? There was also the interesting aspect of Saquon Barkley. That, to me, as ridiculous as I found it at times, was maybe the storyline I was most into, because that's where you really saw like the differencing in opinions from day to day in the front office. I feel like, and I could be very wrong here, I'd love to hear if other people had different interpretations, but Shane was giving off the idea, Joe Shane, the Giants general manager, that he did not want to sign Saquon Barkley. He was willing to put a certain offer on the table and basically go no further. Mm-hmm. That he was very willing to move off of Saquon. It kind of felt like the reason why they even put up offers the year prior was due to ownership. But then on that point, it felt like ownership, directors of player personnel, what have you, were gung-ho and like adamant, no, we cannot lose Saquon. He's our identity. He's the most popular player, what have you. And it just it did feel like there was this crisis going on with the Giants, where you have Shane, who was trying to build a winning football team, and then, to I would almost say a certain extent, some of management just being like, we need popular players with the New York Giants. Like, we need people that like are clearly identifiable with the roster, which now I feel like is a big reason why they needed Nabers. They needed a wide receiver. But I feel like why people were so for doing that when they ultimately couldn't draft a quarterback was because, well, Nabers is just going to be Odell Beckham Jr. We can bring him in his rookie year. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be our offense. It's going to be great. That's sort of what it was feeling like with some of the upper management, is, cool, we got a popular player who's going to fit New York.
Well, you saw in real time, in a minute and a half long clip, exactly what happens when a new GM comes in and tries to make a new identity, right? Like, that was what it looked like to me with what Joe Shane was doing there. It was, all right, we're going to bring this new GM in. We got to really change things up. We got to try a new thing out here. And he's like, all right, let's try this. And they're like, oh, wait, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what we meant.
Yep.
But it's in reality, it's someone that's not attached to the organization coming in, making a hard decision that someone who is already in the organization can't make, because they're so attached to that identity. They're so attached to that player that, yeah, it might look bad now. I, to be honest, I don't think it does. But it might look bad now, but in the long run, it's going to pay off. You think back to with the Sabres when they traded Jack Eichel. It might look bad in the now, but in the long run, it'll probably be better.
Yeah,
off.
We're hoping 2-3 years down the road, right. We're in a much better spot. So, Sabres are not there yet.
No, but and that's like the Giants. The Giants weren't able to trade Saquon Barkley, so it was a different scenario of you're legit losing this player for nothing.
Yeah, but, he leaves in free agency.
But at some point, like what Joe Shane said, is you're paying Daniel Jones all this money to hand it off to Saquon Barkley. It's fine to be able to do that when you're a good football team. But when you're like the Eagles, they have a big-time quarterback that's going to be handing it off to a big-time running back. But they're a good team. They have other things around them that make them good. The Giants don't yet. And that's where they need to kind of unhandcuff themselves from this.
So it's a very old way of thinking.
Yeah, this thought that they have to be with this player because they drafted him at, what, second overall, I think it was. And
he was the face of their franchise for a long time.
But faces of franchises leave all the time. I know it's an older example, but look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at a younger example being... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, now I'm drawing a blank.
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to think of other players.
But the problem is, I mean, like, quarterbacks typically don't. Like, if they're good enough, they usually stay. But yeah, like, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. was the face of the Giants franchise for a while.
And they moved up him for Saquon.
In a way, yeah.
Kind of. Like,
I mean, they also kind of got done.
Super smooth transition.
They kind of got done with him, too. And they knew they were going into a bit of a rebuild. But
yeah.
It's just, it's something I've really, really enjoyed. I think last night was the final episode. And yeah, like, I really, really did enjoy getting that inside look into a team's off-season strategies, because it, you know, the Giants were somewhat of a main character, and they lost other players. They also traded for guys like Brian Burns, but to see them kind of come to terms, or at least some of them come to terms with the Saquon Barkley thing, and really try to push the envelope forward while others are dragging them back. I want to see a team that is, I don't want to say objectively good, but, you know, I would have loved to have seen, like, what Miami did this, you know, behind-the-scenes look at their offseason, coming to terms with the Tua contract, especially for how long it took to actually get there. You know, Dallas this year, for how much of, you know, they said they're all in, they effectively did nothing. They still haven't paid any of their top-end players, whether it be CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, or Micah Parsons. And I want to be able to see all that because we never really get any of that. I find GMs to be the most interesting people in football because they have all the fun stories that no one's ever going to find out. Unless, like, your team was so good or so bad that you get a documentary on it, you're never going to hear any of these stories. And you get a little taste with these Hard Knocks. Because, again, I think to a certain extent, they are somewhat, you know, propaganda for the team. They're not going to make them look bad, what have you. Like, they're going to build up everybody, and every move is great, and every move is amazing. But it still gives you a little bit of that look. We still got to see, you know, the owner, John Mara, be really upset that they're not going to sign back Saquon Barkley. And, you know, outright saying, like, I'm going to lose sleep if he leaves because he's a super popular player. Or you have the director of player personnel, whose name I'm blanking on, basically being, you know, upset that they're going to let Saquon go, or potentially let Saquon go, because he's their identity. And what's their identity going to be without him?
Well, and you get a look at, all right, yeah, these guys might say, hey, this guy's great. Hey, that guy's great. But then you can, as the public viewing this, you can say, well, you're just wrong because we know he's not great.
Yeah.
You're just trying to spin it positively in your own eyes, or you think he can be or whatever. And obviously, you know, players change their perspectives all the time and make themselves look better than they are. But, like, it's an interesting spin on what we've always seen and what we've always heard And that's what just makes it so exciting is you get a look into what goes on now.
And that's where
what goes on a few months ago, I should say. But
and typically as a Bills fan, I wouldn't want the Bills on any of these.
This is what that I would
this love. Is an offseason where I'm like, ooh.
This past offseason would have been fantastic.
This is one where I would have wanted. Because, it's going to be a thing forever. We will never really know what happened with Stephon Diggs and the Bills and why it ultimately went the way it did.
Well, we might eventually, but quite some time.
I doubt it.
Well, but like you said, if you have a team that is so good or so bad, sometimes there's, documentaries or specials made about that team. And I mean, let's say the Bills go on and win the Super Bowl this year.
But man, after
trading Stephon Diggs.
I would love, though, to just be a fly on the wall or now a camera covering this of just like, what were the internal conversations with Stephon Diggs? At what point did the Bills kind of know it's probably happening this offseason?
Because
trades don't just, happen. There's build up to it.
What
we saw it in Hard Knocks of just like this build up, at the Senior Bowl talking, what have you. I would have loved all of that and even it up, especially when they then go out and get guys like Curtis Samuel, Chase Claypool, Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
The draft process.
And then eventually get Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Were there people in the room very nervous with how the offense is going to look? I know that's a lot of fans who's going to be the number one target? Are we sure it's going to be a guy like a Dalton Kincaid or a Keon Coleman? I do want to jump in a little bit on the on the Dalton Kincaid conversation too, because I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it, and I had to give my thoughts on it too. But I want to dive into that. But seeing how the Giants room was not in lockstep. There were differing opinions. I wonder with the Bills how many differing opinions there were, especially when you look at Stephon Diggs and how high his usage was for the Bills and how successful the Bills were with Diggs on the team. I got to imagine it was not like a clean 90-10. Everyone's pretty much in favor. Let's get rid of him. Even if he was a locker room problem and he was becoming a cultural problem for the Bills, I still imagine it was maybe at best a 60-40, let's get rid of him.
Well, and there's also the other scenario of if everyone is in favor of the same crazy decision. Like, if everyone was like, yeah, let's just, let Saquon go. That's going to raise a lot of eyebrows and say, well, what's wrong with Saquon?
Either way, it looks great. It's great television either way.
Yeah, because if you have people, arguing about it, then it's like, well, obviously they're cutting a face of the franchise and all this stuff. But if it's, Joe Shane, I think we're going to let him go. Everyone's, okay, cool.
Sounds good.
We wanted to get rid of him for years. Like, that would just...
It would raise eyebrows man.
Yeah.
Especially because then, you would have people being like, man, the Giants are a really forward-thinking team. Like, they're, but then, of course, you have the Daniel Jones contract, and that is questionable at best. But you have a lot there where you'd be like, okay, this is different. Where, I really do believe for the Bills, there was, I got to imagine there was heavy conversations about, should we actually move on from Stephon Diggs? Should we do that? I find it so fascinating. I've really, really enjoyed the Hard Knocks. I don't know if I'm going to really care too much about the typical one, the training camp one with the Chicago Bears. I'll probably check it out because I like Roma Dunze. I like Caleb Williams, I think, is a really fun personality as well. So I'll probably check it out. But in terms of eagerly anticipating the next episode, it's not going to be like this. It's not. Because, I did get to a point. Knowing who they take in the draft, I was like, I can't wait to see how that process played out.
How do you feel about this specific in-season Hard Knocks? Because it's the entire AFC North. That's so much different than anything we've had before.
It's weird. I've never watched the in-season ones. I know they've done Arizona, and I know they've done Indianapolis, I think,
is
the two.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot going on.
And I've never watched them. I think partially because, I know what's happening. And which is not totally true. I think it's quite ignorant of me to say that. Because, of course, there are internal conversations. I'd like to see how that kind of plays out. But, with it being the whole AFC North, I thought about it. Initially, I kind of liked the idea. Now I'm sort of off it because I feel like certain teams are just – they're not going to be as interesting. And eventually, two, three episodes in, it's going to be like, all right, it's the Cleveland Browns and Pittsburgh Steelers year because they're the only teams that, are relatively interesting or have, potential issues. I heard Sam Monson on today with Jeremy and Joe, and I think he's right. Bringing up Cleveland might have the best roster in football, top to bottom.
Yeah.
But can they figure out if Deshaun Watson's a good quarterback still or not?
Yeah, there's having the best roster, and then there's putting it together on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, if Deshaun Watson can't throw the football, then it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Obviously, Myles Garrett's always going to be a force on that defense, but is there anyone there to back him up? I think there is.
The health of Nick Chubb as well.
Yeah.
very scary injury for him early in the year. So, I mean, like, they could be interesting. And then Pittsburgh, I mean, already right away, Russell Wilson is dealing with an injury, and mm-hmm. Justin Fields has gotten to play with the ones for most of training camp up to this point. I think basically all of it.
Yeah.
So, there, you know, there's fun storylines there where with Baltimore and Cincinnati, it's kind of like, yeah, you're going to be good.
Well,
you're probably going to be good.
With Cincinnati, you do have the contract situations and everything with, you know, I mean, I don't know how much you'd see of it in season, but Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and all that stuff. And
the new locker room. How could I forget? The new Cincinnati locker room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're revealing that soon, right?
They already did. I mean, pitchers. They've already pulled through.
Oh, they did? I just saw. I remember.
So, I mean, Cincinnati's clearly going to be now, you know, big spenders in free agency. They're never going to have any of these problems ever again.
but I think the only reason Cincinnati is, like, really interesting is what is Joe Burrow going to be like coming out of this
with the wrist injury.
And we're going to see that early on in the season before this comes out of just how well the Bengals play.
I've got no point, though, with the Bengals. Whatever they do early in the season doesn't matter to me.
That's fair.
They are one of the worst starter teams in the NFL. They will come out there and be like, we're going to be 1-4. Don't worry. We're going to be like 8-4 in a few weeks.
They're a second-half team.
I think the last 2 years, outside of course, Burrow getting hurt last year, mm-hmm. it was this sort of feeling of, man, it doesn't matter. Like, they're going to be good. Just give them a minute to get there. They may not be the one seed, but, you know, for the Bills especially, they did not match up well with them at all. So there was always kind of this feeling of I just don't want them in the playoffs. And they get there because Pittsburgh is bad, except for last year because, of course, Burrow got hurt. And then Cleveland has been so up and down. From year to year, you don't know what you're going to get with them. I mean, last year took Joe Flacco discovering his former playoff form, I think in 2011, where he just went, you know, Super Saiyan out here. I mean,
To be fair, maybe of
the divisions to pick, that might be the best one. I just don't know how much I'm going to be invested in all four teams.
To be fair, over the last 3 years, the Bengals have not gone 1-4 in the first five games.
Really?
Yeah. Last year, they were, through week five, they were 2-3.
It's basically 1-4.
2022, they were 2-3.
Basically 1-4.
And 2021, they were 3-2.
They're still a bad starting team.
No, I know, but it's not.
I was maybe a bit aggressive, but they're still not great.
No, but it's not great, but it's not as bad as, you know, 1-4 mm-hmm. or something like that. But no, I just think that this division is probably. I think the NFC North would probably be a better choice just because mm-hmm. of all the teams that are coming into their own there. But AFC North is probably second place.
Yeah,
AFC East in like 3 or 4 years.
I mean, could be interesting.
Could be really interesting.
It's only interesting now with, obviously, with the Bills are going to be post Stephon Diggs, the Jets having Aaron Rodgers, the Tua mm-hmm. conversation, but the Patriots are like in a full rebuild.
Yep.
So I think they're very much the afterthought.
Well, that's why I was saying like 3 or 4 years when Rodgers is hopefully gone from yep. the Jets, and then at that point, Tua's contract is coming up again,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see the after effects of that over the next 3 years. And then at that point, too, Drake May is potentially going to be the guy in New England.
Yeah.
Obviously, if something catastrophic happens and he is just a generational bust, then yep. that's still a storyline. But I think at that point, in like 3 or 4 years, if they keep doing this, like that would be the division to do because you still have – you'll have Josh Allen like kind of like at his peak or at the coming mm-hmm. down from his peak. And then you'll have all these other three teams getting their new quarterbacks and – getting going
pretty yeah absolutely
much. So just throwing it out there for down the road,
man. I never want to see the Bills on like any kind of Hard Knocks thing ever in my life, not once.
Well, I feel like the in-season ones aren't that bad.
No Why? I want nothing.
It's just like showing you what's going on in the locker room and what's going on with the team. Like, it's not like a
I don't need that,
you know, hey, the team's bad. Like,
I know during quarterback too, when like there was potentially gonna be quarterback season two, they're like, man, do you want Josh Allen on that? I'm like, no. Why would I want that? Yeah. No. I don't want, like, and it sounds ridiculous, like, to say, like, I don't want any distractions. I just don't really want any of that. I don't need to, like, go into his personal life and like, how he does everything in the offseason. I'm good. I get enough of it from social media.
Would you feel different if the Bills had already won a Super Bowl with Josh Allen?
Ooh.
Or just in general. If they had already won a Super Bowl just, you know, years ago, How would you feel? Or is it more so if Allen had already won a Super Bowl?
I got to think on that. Let's hit a timeout. 803-0550 is the number to call. Would you want the Bills to ever be part of these Hard Knocks TV shows or even Netflix ones, quarterbacks, wide receiver? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.